Imagine others in awe asking, how do you do it? Picture creating work you're really proud of. Mastering a craft isn't exclusive to the naturally gifted. It's within your reach as well. In this episode, uncover the 5 essential pillars to thrive with your art and become the master of any craft. Get ready to unleash your creative potential. Let's go. Hello and welcome to another episode of Open Studio. I'm your host, Martina Flor, and in this solo show, I share strategies and tactics that you can use to build a career as a lettering artist or illustrator. Now, I just finished an in-person seminar in my studio last week, and within this 3 days seminar, which is an intensive seminar where I essentially walk the students through the process of creating a lettering piece from scratch, from concept and sketch to digital artwork. Within this experience, we hosted a business clinic where I essentially covered different aspects of running a business as a lettering artist or illustrator, right? And one of the things that stayed with me the most is one of the questions that I had to answer during that business clinic, and that is a common question among students or aspiring artists, right? Which has to do with, you know, when is that I'm ready to charge for my work? Where is the fine line? Where do I draw the line between being an amateur and a pro? How do I know that I'm ready to charge for my work, right? And, you know, one of the definitions of being an amateur is essentially that you do something, you have a passion, and you don't charge for it. You just do it because you enjoy doing it, right? And the definition of being a pro is that you charge for your work, essentially. Everyone that works professionally at something charges for their work, right? Now, the question is, how do you know that you could charge for it? I remember that the first time I discovered this concept of like, okay, when do you call yourself a lettering artist, right? I remember that I asked this question to one of my mentors, and the one person I worked for when I moved to Berlin back in 2010, I took an internship in a Thai foundry, the Thai foundry of one of the greatest type designers in the world, called Lucas de Quot. And one day I asked him, like, you know, I essentially signed up for this internship to discover how it was to work professionally as a letter designer, right? And one day I asked him, like, when do you start calling yourself, you know, type designer, right? How do I know that I can call myself type designer? And he said, well, I guess when you start charging for it, right? When you start getting paid for it. And it's such a simple concept, and at the same time, so it becomes so complex for some people and students I work with to understand or to trust themselves and have the confidence to charge for their work. And what I did in the business clinic is that I did the exercise of showing the very first cover that I created, the very first book cover that I created as a lettering artist, right? And, you know, I actually didn't show the cover, or I started by asking the question, like, you know, behind this box that I had on the table. So I put the cover or the book behind the box, and I asked them, you know, behind this box, there is the very first book cover that I created. How do you think it looks like? And, you know, everyone in the room said, like, well, it looks amazing, probably stunning, beautiful. And then I showed the actual cover, and everyone was a little bit underwhelmed, right? Because the current is not really great, really. Is when I look at it right now, I feel that I could do that much better, for sure. And I see a big room for improvement. And what I wanted to prove with that is that you need to start somewhere. And probably when you start, you won't be creating your greatest work ever, right? But the fact that you're starting sets the ground for big improvement, right? For me, creating that book cover was the previous step to creating my second cover, which was a lot better than that cover. And that was the stepping stone to creating my third, fourth, fifth cover. And nowadays, after creating dozens of book covers, I'm grateful for that first experience that brought me where I am today, where I am proud of the covers that I create and where I can see big progress between that one first cover and that last cover that I created for a client, right? So what I want to say with this is that charging for your work is more a decision than a fact or something that you can prove in some way, right? There's nothing written about when a lettering artist, when an illustrator is ready, is on the right level to start charging for their work. And I'm sure that at any level that you are right now, you will be able to serve someone and help someone with your skills. Now, with that said, I understand that if you are an amateur, and even if you are already charging for your work, you aim to create great work, right? And that's the right mindset. You want to, you know, your work is your superpower, is something that I say over and over here on the podcast. And the fact that you are investing yourself, investing time into improving your craft, improving the work that you create, is the right path, right? We want to make an impact. We want to leave a legacy with our work. And focusing on creating great work is a great value that you have, right? Hey, 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 welcome to the fascinating world of hand lettering, where letters transform into captivating stories. My latest PDF, Lettering DNA, is your guide to discovering the secrets of the alphabet and empowering you to create stunning words and phrases that amaze others. Crack the code of letter forms inside this easy-to-understand PDF. Download it for free on martinaflor.com/letteringdna. Embark on this journey and transform words into unique stories. With Lettering DNA, you will gain a fresh perspective on letter forms that will forever change the way you see them. Again, go to martinaflor.com/letteringdna to download it for free. Now, back to the show. In the process of getting better in your craft and getting better and better results and creating better and better work, you will gain the confidence to actually take the plunge to start charging for your work. And this is why I believe that mastering a craft or focusing on mastering your craft and doing great work is a great catalyst to start charging for it. And today I want to share with you five keys to mastering a craft. And these are five keys that I've seen happening and showing up in my own journey as a lettering artist, but also in the journey of hundreds of lettering artists that are inside my community of lettering artists. And I've seen this happening, and I've seen these elements showing up in their journey or being really helpful and having a great impact in their results in the journey of all of the students that I guide and nurture inside my community. So the strategy of the element number one is, in order to master a craft and to get really good at what you do, is number one, master the fundamentals. Understand the fundamentals, learn the fundamentals. And when I speak about the fundamentals, I speak about the underlying rules and principles behind the craft that you want to master, right? Just to give you an example, in this in-person lettering seminar that I hosted last week, and also in my online programs, but specifically because I have hosted this one seminar recently, I have this very fresh in my mind. But one of the things that we go through in that seminar is that I show them a system that they can find in any alphabet, right? So for me, that I call that lettering DNA. In fact, you can download a PDF of this lettering DNA on my website. You can go to martinaflor.com/letteringDNA, and that will download the PDF for free so that you get an idea of what I'm talking about. And in this lettering DNA, I essentially show a system that you can find behind an alphabet, right? And for this, I use three simple shapes, which is the rectangle, the circle, and the triangle. And I compare, you know, I group letter forms on these three groups, right? I divide the letter forms in the alphabet in three big groups: the group of the rectangular letter forms, the group of the rounded letter forms, and the group of the triangular letter forms. And then I show them how to use information or DNA from each one of the groups to build other letters, right? Now, this is just a conceptual interpretation of the alphabet. It's a way of understanding the alphabet as a system so that when they sit to work or they sit down to work, they can understand how the system they are working within, which is the alphabet, works, right? And once you understand the rules, once you understand the system, once you crack the system in some way, you can work on your own. You don't need someone to tell you, okay, this is the way you draw an N, or this is the way you draw an E, right? Now, this system is really mind-blowing for them, because suddenly they feel empowered to start drawing letter forms, right? They feel like they have understood something that wasn't really visible for them. And like this one system, the lettering DNA that I'm speaking about, there's a lot of other systems. There's a lot of other principles that once you know them, once you understand them, you can apply them to your work, and they can totally transform your results, but also totally transform your approach to what you're creating. Because you will probably resonate with this. When you're starting with a craft, you feel completely insecure. You are like, well, I don't know how to draw this A. I don't know how do you draw a capital E, right? I don't know how to color my drawing. I don't know how to do a lot of things, right? And every step becomes a huge challenge. And every step, every new question holds you back from moving forward, right? So by understanding the fundamentals, by understanding these principles, by understanding the rules, then you can move forward with your work, right? You can actually finish that one lettering piece and create a lot others afterwards, right? So mastering the fundamentals is paramount. And you know, we have heard over and over, specifically with creativity, we have heard this idea of like, well, you know, creativity or creating something or actually drawing, it's a lot about leaving your creative juices flow and just sit down and grab a pencil and draw. But the reality is that when you sit down and you grab a pencil and you try to draw, you hit a wall pretty fast. And this is why learning the fundamentals is the way to unlock that process, to unlock the potential that you have to create something, right? So never underestimate the power that fundamentals and learning the ground principles of your craft has in allowing you to create your best work, right? Now, the thing number two, the element number two that I see has a great impact on the results of students and that has had a lot of impact in my results and in my ability to build a portfolio and to produce work is that I own a process. I have a process to create my work. And I have a process that is pretty specific. I start here. The second step is that one. Once this is approved by the client, I move on to this other step. And this is the way I deliver the final result to my clients, right? So owning a process or having a process to create your work liberates you from overthinking and trying to figure out the wheel or to reinvent the wheel every time, right? And I always say that once you have a process, once you know where to begin, once you know where you're heading, what is the end result that you're looking for, the magic happens in between. The fact that the process is in a way fixed or is predictable makes the result unpredictable or makes the result surprising, right? So have a process, and this is one of the things that empower my students the most when they learn the process that I propose to them and that I have used throughout the years to create my work. Once they learn that process, they never stop creating work, because they don't have to question over and over, okay, where do I start and how do I begin, how do I continue? They know what are the steps that they need to follow, and this enables them to create more work. Now, the point number three, or the element number three, is to finish every project. Something that separates amateurs from pros is that pros have deadlines, pros have a client looking or waiting for that result. Pros need to deliver. And if you, as an amateur, start having that mindset, that attitude towards your work, in which you set yourself up to finish every piece that you start, you will be well ahead in your way of charging for your work, right? Now, I have a scheme to finish every project. I have a three steps process to finish every project that I shared with you in episode number 108 of this season, of season number four. And the episode is called Expert Tips for Building a Portfolio. And in this episode, I share with you my briefing deadline publish scheme, which is a three steps framework to finish every work or every piece of work that you start, right? So briefing stands for have a set of parameters, have a certain goal with that a specific lettering piece or illustration that you're creating. Step number two, have a deadline. You know, you need to know when you are gonna be finished with that work, and then publish. Show it, share it on your social media, share it on your portfolio, share it on a blog, right? But these three steps prepare you for delivering as a professional, because what separates the amateurs from the pros is that the professionals deliver often, right? And if you follow this three steps process of briefing, deadline, publish, you will always make sure that you deliver. And if you want to go deeper into that topic, go check out episode number 108 of the season four, where I share, you know, where I go deeper into this framework. So, element number four, step number four, or point number four, find feedback and accountability. No one makes it on its own. And you know, I always say that it's very hard to make progress in isolation, right? And that is what I see happening with many artists and creatives. We love being in the zone. We love sitting in front of our computer or at our desk and just do the work, move our anchor points, draw on our iPad. We love being in that area. This is our happy place. This is where we want to live most of our lives. Now, you need to get out of this space and seek for feedback in order to achieve progress, to make progress in your work. Figuring it out on your own may be possible for some people, but it's gonna take a lot longer. There's a proverb, an African proverb, that says that if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together, right? And this applies to your craft as well. Seek for feedback. Find people that will be willing to give you feedback on your work, that will be willing to point out at the things that you could improve as well as the things that you're doing right. And having someone looking over your work, having someone waiting for you to deliver a certain piece of work will also keep you accountable. Again, this is for pros. This is the image of a client. When there's a client assignment, when there's a client waiting for your work, you will deliver that piece of work. And you will also incorporate their feedback, and that will keep you accountable on finishing that project, right? So find feedback and accountability for yourself. Find other people that are on the same journey so that you can, people that you can rely on, people that are there to help you, to give you feedback on your work and to keep you accountable on your progress, right? Step number five, or element number five, that I see happening in many artists, many students that have gone from amateur to pro or have mastered the craft, is that they commit, right? And this is perhaps the most important element. You can master the fundamentals. You can learn all the fundamentals, know all the rules. You can have a process. You can even finish every project that you start. You can have an amazing community or group of accountability partners, people that give you feedback. But if you don't commit yourself to do this, to stay at it, to keep at it, then it will be very hard to master your craft. It will be very hard to reach your full potential, right? And I always say that in my case, starting my lettering business, launching my business as a full-time lettering artist was a way of keeping at it, right? Launching my business was a way of saying, well, now I need to make money with this business. So because I need to attract new client assignments, I need to reach out for new work, you know, I will continue doing lettering. And this, the fact that I was working professionally as a lettering artist, is the one thing that made me improve my skills, improve my craft. It's the one thing that kept me going. It's the one thing that kept me producing work consistently, right? Now, let's go back to the very beginning. We started with the question of, when are you ready to start charging for your work? When are you ready to go from amateur to pro? And to this question, I have a very straight answer, which is, you decide when you're ready. Now, with that said, again, I know that in order to make that decision, you need to have a certain confidence for your work. And that confidence comes from knowing that you can do this, knowing that you can do this over and over and over again, and that every time you do a new lettering piece or a new illustration, it's getting better. Your results are getting better. So, and in order to get good results and master your craft and create work consistently, you have to have these five elements in your work. So the element number one is that you need to learn the fundamentals, you need to learn the rules of your craft, right? And for this, I share, just to give you an idea of some of the fundamentals or how a fundamental would look like, I share with you the lettering DNA PDF, which you can find on martinaflor.com/lettering DNA, where I show some of the rules behind or some of the principles behind letter design, right? So element number one, know the rules of your craft. Element number two, have a process, a consistent process that you can follow every time and you know it works. Element number three, finish every project that you start, right? Start a project, finish it. Next one, start a project, finish it, right? And for this, you can use the briefing deadline publish scheme that I share with you on episode 108. Element number four, find feedback and accountability. No one does it alone. Find people that are on your same journey and will help you throughout yours. And element number five, commit. Commitment is the strongest element, the one that will take you farther, and the one that you cannot miss if you want to master your craft, if you want to improve your work, right? So the five elements that you need to master your craft, build confidence on your work, and start charging for it are those that I shared in this one episode. So I hope that this episode helps you move the needle at least a little bit towards becoming a master in what you do, becoming really good at what you do. Because remember, your work is what will give you the confidence to go from amateur to pro and start charging for your work. Thank you so much for listening today, and see you on the next episode of Open Studio. Bye bye.
So this is it. I hope you loved this episode. You can find me, the host of the show, on social networks at Martina Flor on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you have a question or comments, go to martinaflor.com/podcast, where you can see previous episodes, find show notes, and send voice memos with your comments and questions. You can also watch these episodes on YouTube. Just go to martinaflor.com/YouTube to find them. You can, of course, listen to all our episodes on your favorite podcast platform. If you loved this episode, subscribe to this podcast. And if you leave us a review, it will help others find us. Thank you all for listening, and see you in the next episode of Martina Flor's Open Studio. Bye-bye.